Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show, coming to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios, National Mortgage Lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Still got to get to my NFL picks. I think I might make 7 this week. I wrote down 7, Anthony. Is that allowed? Or should I pare them down? Because usually I only make 5. I've made 6 here and there.
How many you want to do today?
I have 7 written down.
Hey, if you feel confident, go for it.
Well, last week I'd been in a little bit of a slump. And
you delivered, boy. You responded under pressure.
5-0 last week. Like I said, what I determined from my little bit of a slump is that the opinions that I had formed from the early season needed to be updated, right? Watch a few weeks of the season, see how things have developed, and you form opinions. And then I stuck with those opinions a little bit too long. Since then, I've updated my opinions. We'll see if that works out. 5-0 last week, a grand champion. Right here. But before that, I'm going to take a few more of your calls on Aaron Rodgers. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Hey, everyone, here's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Do you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, too? Get it all at geico.com. Let's go to Ed in Indiana. Ed, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Yes, how do you do?
Good, man.
Just listening to your program. And like anybody, a lot of people don't understand, you take Steph Curry from Golden State, put him with Cleveland, see if he can win a championship like LeBron did. Take Kevin Durant, put him with Cleveland, or any a lot of little small teams. It's what you have to work with and what you have around you. You take Aaron Rodgers, put him with those Bears right now, they're championship contenders. You take the Bears' defense, put them with Green Bay and see what happens.
Well, no doubt. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is a great player. I mean, that's not the case. I'm not making the case I'm making is not that he's not a great player. That's clear. He's a great player. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the league right now. He's been one of the best quarterbacks in the league for a long time. The only case I'm making is that he's not in the greatest of all time conversation. That's it.
Well, like I'm saying, as far as Green Bay's defense, they got a decent front line there. But the secondary ain't worth a crap. Haven't been worth a crap in how many decades. But, I mean, how many years so far. But you take, like I said.
But how's Carolina's defense this year?
So-so. They're not great. You take Brady away from New England. What happened to that team? You take Russell Wilson away from that Seattle, what will happen?
Well, if you take Russell Wilson away from Seattle, Seattle's one of the worst teams in the league if they don't have Russell Wilson.
But you look what LeBron did. How many basketball players can go there and take a team like they had in Cleveland?
Well, I would say 0.
Okay.
But so that's not the same as the Aaron Rodgers situation. I mean, that's a different, you know, conversation. We're not talking about Aaron Rodgers losing in the NFC Championship game. We're not talking about Aaron Rodgers losing in the Super Bowl. We're talking about the Packers being bad right now. They're bad. How about Nathan in Jackson, New Jersey? You're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up?
Hey, what's up, Robin? Good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. What's up?
So I want to talk about my Dallas Cowboys real quick. Mm-hmm. A big win on Thursday for us. I think this will elevate our team for the rest of the season and going into the playoffs. And I feel like if our defense plays like that against the Saints that we did on Thursday, then we have a chance to contend with the Super Bowl.
I would take the Cowboys moderately seriously at this point. They're going to have to buck convention a little bit and be more of a throwback team in order to do it on defense. I think they're the only team this year that hasn't allowed 30 points to be scored on them. Since Amari Cooper got there, they have really, really opened things up a little bit offensively. It's opened up some holes for Zeke Elliott to run through and the like. And I think Dak Prescott was the victim of hype and then backlash to that hype when really he's good. He's not great. He's not bad. He's good. But they're going to have to do it with their defense. I think what happened against the Saints is, as much as you want to say, okay, the Saints need to be playing for home field, that's not the kind of motivation what Dallas is playing for is. And I would put Dallas in that secondary tier in the NFC. I do think they're going to win that division. How about Bruce in Abilene, Texas? You're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, I have absolutely no idea where you are coming from with this whole Aaron Rodgers thing. And you essentially made your own point against yourself when you just said the Packers are just bad. Look, you know, greatest of all time is a very, very subjective thing.
Well, what other greatest of all time quarterback have you seen on a bad team?
Yeah, well, let me make my point, okay? Except the caller, Ed from Indiana, made an outstanding point. He's absolutely right. And the caller, several callers back, when he referenced the Skins of the 90s, you didn't even mention the Hawks. You take all these defenses, offenses. There's a reason why over the past several years, people have talked about Aaron Rodgers the way that they do. I'm old enough. I'm going to be 58 years old. I've seen Montana. I've seen two generations of quarterbacks. And for my money, yeah, you see what Aaron Rodgers does. The man simply has innate talent that other quarterbacks simply do not have.
But having talent does not make you.
Jordy Nelson.
Having talent does not make you the GOAT.
Guy has had no substantial.
Jordy Nelson is a great.
Aaron Rodgers has.
Jordy Nelson is a great player. Okay, let me ask you this. Have Cam Newton or Russell Wilson ever had a receiver as good as Jordy Nelson?
Yeah, but see, that's what I'm saying. You're micromanaging things. I'm sure you're still old enough to know the term, the cream always rises to the top. It doesn't take a genius to see and look at the scope of Aaron Rodgers and what the man is able to do. And when you look at what he's done, he has been hurt. He has not had the support staff that everybody.
Again, that's what I'm saying. Everybody makes every. But there's
Joe
never.
Walsh, Jerry Rice. I could go through. I'm sure you're familiar with your teammates, Montana.
Sure, but that's why I bring up Cam Newton. That's why I bring up Cam Newton and Russell Wilson. I would say their situations have been very comparable to Aaron Rodgers. And I don't see them getting the praise, and I see them getting more criticism than he does. You know, and you're asking me, like, even now, like, is Aaron Rodgers better than those guys? I think they're on the same tier. They do it a little different. They're great all those guys are great quarterbacks. Aaron Rodgers is a great quarterback. Cam Newton's a great quarterback. Russell Wilson's a great quarterback. I didn't say none of them are the greatest of all time, though. Alan in Pittsburgh. Alan, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, sir. Great show.
Thank you.
Hey, can I get your opinion? What do you think about the Steelers-Chargers game Sunday night? You think Steelers might be able to beat them, or it's going to be a real tight game?
Alan, what you just did, and I'm sorry to use you as a prop, but you just created a segue into my NFL picks for the week. Give me the Pittsburgh Steelers -3.5 over the Chargers. I picked the Broncos last week on this show with the points. In real life, I bet the Broncos on the money line over the Steelers last week, and I bet the Cowboys on the money line on Thursday over the Saints. The reason I did so is not because I think negatively of the Steelers or the Saints. It's because of the circumstances of those games. You know, the Broncos are a team playing better. The Steelers had been on a roll. They were on the road. Just one of those games in the midst of a season. Same thing, I think, for the Saints going to Dallas. Dallas is playing well. Dallas is at home. Dallas needs that game. The Saints were just in the middle of a huge streak and on the road. You lose some of those games. It's not evaluated. You know, it's not like it's something I use it as an evaluation. Now Pittsburgh has that loss, probably refocused, you know, get the Chargers up next in the next game. And I think you see the real Steelers at home. They've been a much better team at home. And I think they beat the Chargers by more than a field goal. Next up, Carolina -3.5 over Tampa. This is just a needed game. The Panthers need this game. If they want to keep their playoff hopes alive, they're going to be battling with the Vikings and the Seahawks to make it into the playoffs. So I think they're the better team than Tampa. Sometimes those division games can get a little messy, but I just think from a need standpoint, I'll take Carolina over Tampa. I'll take Baltimore -2.5 over Atlanta. I like the way they're rolling with Lamar Jackson at quarterback. They started the season strong. They seem to have recaptured that a little bit. I think they keep that going. The Giants +4 over Chicago. You know, the Giants were really bad early in the season. I picked against them after a few weeks, realizing, you know, they were just bad, kept picking against them. Eventually that changed a little bit. They're no longer that team. They are now a competitive team. At home, they're playing a lot better. I think they should have beat the Eagles last week. I might regret this one. Clearly, the Bears are a better team. But this is one of those games I'm talking about. Chicago's been playing really well. It's the midst of a long season. They're on the road against a team playing better. I see the Giants at least keeping that one close. Buffalo, +7 over Miami. These two teams are kind of the same to me. Buffalo, I don't think, is as bad as we kind of thought. They looked a little bit better with Josh Allen in at quarterback. That's just a lot of points to be giving them. Washington, +7 over Philly. I don't think there's that big a gap between those two teams. Another division game. So give me Washington in that one. And finally, Cleveland, +4.5 over Houston. Houston, I'm going with a common theme here. But Houston is really, really rolling. What have they won? 8, 9 in a row now? 8 in a row? This is another case of they're playing a good team, a team that's playing a lot better in the midst of a long streak. Logic would tell you that they're bound to lose at some point. And you know what? Let's go one more. I'm going to go even deeper. I'm going to go all in this week. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That just because we were talking about Aaron Rodgers for so long, this is just like for fun. And it's probably going to wind up coming back to bite me in my grand scheme of things records. But while I'm being, you know, quote unquote negative about Aaron Rodgers, give me the Cardinals +14.5 against the Packers. The Cardinals are bad, but I don't know if the Packers are that good where they should be 14.5 point favorites. They're going to win that game by 30 now, at least the Packers, but whatever, who cares? Those are my picks for the week. Coming up next, I'll talk to Houston Nutt, CBS Sports Network college football analyst, because you know those pesky college football playoffs, that they're set tomorrow night, right? Isn't that a done deal tomorrow night? So we'll talk about that coming up next. It's the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Robin Lundberg Show.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show, CBS Sports Radio. Gotten to a lot today, but the college football playoffs about to be set, so got to get to that as well. And who better to discuss with me than longtime coach, current CBS Sports Network college football analyst, Houston Nutt. And Houston, let's take a look at the landscape real quick. Obviously, Alabama is in, but they have Georgia. If Georgia loses that game, is there a scenario where they can still make it?
I don't think they can get in if they lose. If they lose, it to me, it's going to be too hard. It's going to be too hard for them to get in, because especially if Oklahoma wins, if Ohio State wins, now to me, they're going to have a discussion between those two.
Now, let's say those two win, Oklahoma and Ohio State, and Georgia loses. Which of those two teams do you think is more deserving?
I'd like you to ask me that question after today. I'd like to see how these teams finish up.
Sure.
But the bottom line is going to be this. Ohio State, when you look at them this past, you know, they keyed in as an underdog against Michigan, and they hit on all cylinders. And that's kind of what we've been waiting on. But when you lose to Purdue, you go back through their schedule, and then you look at Oklahoma. The argument for Oklahoma is, well, Oklahoma doesn't play defense, but offensively, everybody wants to watch Oklahoma because they can score on anybody. Kyler Murray's just been outstanding, fun to watch, and you just feel like they can put points on the board against anybody.
Robin Lundberg talking to Houston Nutt, CBS Sports Network college football analyst, going over the possible college football playoff rankings. I guess it deserves to be broached. I haven't really thought about it because the possibility of them losing seems almost incomprehensible. But back to that Alabama-Georgia game. Is there any danger to Alabama with a loss in that game?
See, now you have a real discussion of chaos. If Alabama loses, oh my goodness. I just don't see how you're going to take them out of the top four, because they've been there all year long. We always know that Nick Saban's going to play defense, but the way they played offense with Tua Tagovailoa, just outstanding. And the receivers that he has, the weapons around him, Jerry Jeudy, Irv Smith, I think they'll be there. I really do. I think they'll be in the top four. And then that's where you're going to really have some hurt feelings, because somebody's going to get left out that probably deserves. So that's where I always like the champion of each conference. I think they deserve. I think anytime you win your conference championship, you deserve to be in.
So how do you feel about Notre Dame and where they're at given that thought?
You know, I like Notre Dame. I think they deserve to be in. It's just I just think it's a little bit unfair when they're sitting in the clubhouse. You know, they're getting ice. Everything's good. You get your sore muscles ready to go. And you know, they're going to be in, no question about it. I just wish they had one more game. I wish there was a championship game. But that's the way it is. And so they're in. So we might as well not worry about it because Notre Dame is in.
Yeah, well, we're looking forward a little bit. I've, you know, made the Alabama team this year a little akin to Golden State. You know, people have complained in the last several years that it's a foregone conclusion it's going to win the NBA championship. It feels a little bit like that with Alabama, and maybe we're arguing just about, you know, a formality. Do you think any of these teams is on their level? And I haven't mentioned Clemson yet. That seems to be the one team. Do you think Clemson belongs in that same breath as Alabama?
I think you hit it. I do. I think Clemson is built a lot like Alabama. When you look at their front seven, Dexter Lawrence, Cleveland Farrell, Austin Bryant, I think when you look at their front seven, yes, and you know, the quarterback, Trevor Lawrence has really gotten much, much better each and every game. He's 6'6", tremendous, tremendous arm. Ball comes right off his hand. He's very accurate. And then, of course, Travis Etienne is outstanding. And I tell you, I think they can. I really do. I think they can play there. And I tell you, the other thing is watch out for I think Georgia. I think Georgia's the team that can that won't flinch.
You were talking about against Alabama today.
Yes, definitely.
That would be, of all the things that could make it interesting, nothing would make it more interesting than Georgia beating Alabama today.
That's the one. And again, I mean, I think in the end, Alabama wins, but I'm just saying if somehow Alabama helps Georgia a little bit, the Georgia players, because of last year, they're not going to flinch. I mean, they're going to feel like they can go toe-to-toe with them. Jake Fromm's been outstanding. He knows what to do with the football. And the running backs, Holyfield, DeAndre Swift, and the receivers, they're very, very good. But I can't wait to watch it because I just think there's something about an attitude of when you played these guys before and you feel like you've been right there and you're 5 or 6 yards short from the previous year, you know how much effort Georgia's going to give because Kirby Smart, you know, working with Coach Saban, very similar processes, very similar.
All right, final prediction. Who will be the top four teams in the country when it comes to the college football playoff tomorrow?
Top four teams. Got to go Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame, and I'm going to say Oklahoma.
Oklahoma, there you have it. Houston Nutt, longtime coach, CBS Sports Network college football analyst. Appreciate your time this morning, Coach.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
You're listening to The Robin Lundberg Show.
It is The Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. Take me down to the paradise. Different bumper. You don't like the typical bumper. I mean, I have no problem. It's a great song, but it's not my typical bumper music.
I apologize. I just like to mix things up between segments.
No, that's fine. You don't have to apologize. I just caught off guard a little bit. You know, it's usually they got the stuff that's going to make me start rapping. But I was like, take me down to the paradise. Yeah, it's fine. I mean, I like all kinds of music. I just happen to really, really like rap music and discussing rap music. But I like all sorts of. You know what I was listening to the other day a lot in the car with the kids? Is just like a Fleetwood Mac anthology. A lot of great songs, Fleetwood Mac, one of the all-time great bands. All right, let's go to Johnny in Alabama. Johnny, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on?
Well, it's only one game that really has top four players all, you know, in both sides of the fence. That's the SEC championship game. And, you know, last time we talked, you know, you were wondering about LSU, Alabama, and you know, where to play the game.
Yeah.
And I will tell you, that there's only one team in America that could spot any team that they played this year 3 touchdowns and still be 12-0, and that's Bama. And the fact that Vegas has got them only a 2-touchdown game here, I think you're playing with house money again. So, you know, if I'm going to go on this game and I'm going to take Bama and cover, and I'm going to feel pretty comfortable about it. Typically, you know, last time Tua played Georgia, and this Georgia defense is not as good as last year's defense, they can't pressure the quarterback. They're ranked 106 in sacks this year. And if you can't pressure Tua, you're just dead. And I figure Bama can put 42 on Georgia. And if they hold Georgia within, you know, 15 below their season average, it's going to be something like 42-17. So, you know, I feel pretty good that, you know, you're going to see Bama in the Final Four with, I would like to see, I wish there would be some chaos because I really like to get our hands on UCF because I think we would hang 84 on them.
All right. He's confident. No reason not to be. I would be confident if I was an Alabama fan as well. There is absolutely no reason not to be confident. Let's go next to Eddie in Pennsylvania. Eddie, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on?
Hey, what's up, man?
How are you?
Good. I just wanted to comment on the Aaron Rodgers thing, kind of going back to Aaron Rodgers.
Sure.
I think really he is one of the talented, but one of the greatest of all time. He's not. He reminds me a lot of Allen Iverson. Where he's kind of a me guy. Things got hot one year and everything worked good and they got to the championship, almost won one for Allen, but he did one with Aaron. But when he's looked back on, when it's all said and done, he'll be one of the talented guys that ever do it. But when it comes to the GOAT, he's not up there with the Bradys, the Mannings, the Breezes, I guess.
Hey, I mean, that was kind of the point I was making. I think he's, you know, Breeze has sort of had this season where it's all come together for him, where he's now being put in that situation. But if you look at Breeze and Rodgers, that's a real argument, and Breeze has been doing it for longer. So if Breeze is not in the GOAT conversation, then how is Rodgers in the GOAT conversation? And that is ultimately, I think, one of the main points of my statement on top of a bunch of the rest, which I've already laid out for you. But I've already gotten to a lot of stuff. It's time to get to everything I have not. In another one. All right, Anthony, what's up first?
All right, we haven't done any NBA today, so let's do some to start off. Report this week, LeBron ignoring Luke Walton's play calls and running his own instead. Is LeBron ignoring Walton an issue, and how will this impact Walton's job security?
Of course not. This is hilarious to me. Like, hilarious. If Peyton Manning or Tom Brady were to audible out of a play call at the line of scrimmage, are we hearing about it? No. LeBron James, I promise you, has the freedom to direct traffic on the court. And if Luke Walton has not given him that freedom, then Luke Walton is an idiot. Because LeBron James deserves that, given his career. And, you know, like, we're in this constant search for drama with LeBron teams and now with the LeBron-Luke Walton relationship. The Lakers got blown out by the Nuggets the other night. They lost a couple to the Magic, but they're 13-9 on the season. Didn't they start 0-3, right? They started 0-3, which would mean they are 10-6. Which means they're 13-6 since that point in time in the season. You look at the Western Conference standings, and the Lakers are 2.5 games out of first in the West. They're right now one game away from being a top four team in the West. They're 7-3 in their last 10. They're going to win again tomorrow against Phoenix and be on a 3-game winning streak. The defense, which was a concern early in the season, they've been a top five defense in the entire NBA since Tyson Chandler got there. What are we complaining? Like, what are people, what's the problem? I saw before the year people were saying, like, they might miss the playoffs. No, that's not going to happen. I just think, like, there's this search to create drama around LeBron. Because that's what people like to talk about when there's nothing there to be concerned about. The Lakers are doing just fine.
Speaking of the Lakers, Bradley Beal reportedly wants out of Washington. Should the Lakers trade for Beal? Would he be a good fit for L.A.?
I think he'd be an awesome fit in L.A. I mean, the question is, do they want to sacrifice the chance to go after Kevin Durant or the chance to maybe put a trade together for Anthony Davis? Who is clearly becoming disgruntled. Just as a pure fit, of course he'd be a great pure fit. And a lot of LA's pieces cannot be moved until December 15th. But when December 15th comes around, if they're not at least kicking the tires on, like, let's say, a Brandon Ingram KCP deal for Bradley Beal, then they're not doing their job. I'm not saying that that certainly should happen, but Bradley Beal would be an incredible fit next to LeBron. So it's something they should be, at the very least, exploring.
Teammates of Markel Fultz are reportedly concerned about his overall well-being as he continues to visit specialists to examine his shoulder injury. Are Fultz's problems more mental than physical? Apparently, this has been a topic of discussion within the Sixers front office.
I, if I was them, I would rather them be physical than mental at this point. You know, at least if it's physical, you can get it taken care of and he comes back. But you're looking at a guy who has really, really struggled. Not just like, it's not just the free throw line. I know the free throw thing got blown up because, you know, it was like, what's going on? And then Amari Cooper does this celebration in the end zone. But Markel Fultz has not been good either. Like, that's the problem. He's not really looked like an NBA player. And this is somebody who was taken with the first pick in the draft a year ago. So I think it's probably best for everybody to move on at this point and get him into a different situation. But, of course, you have to be a little bit concerned about it because it's inexplicable. Either they everyone who evaluated him highly, including obviously the Philadelphia 76ers, just did a horrendous job, and you're looking at, you know, the next Michael Olowokandi or Kwame Brown or Anthony Bennett when it comes to the draft, or something's up. And he needs to get that resolved both physically and mentally. And I think a change of scenery might be the best thing for that.
Getting back to the NFL, we talked a lot about Aaron Rodgers. Tension reportedly growing between Rodgers and Mike McCarthy in Green Bay. Most people expect McCarthy to be out at the end of the season, which may be soon to be open NFL head coaching job is the most enticing, do you believe? The Packers or the Browns?
I would say, at this moment, probably the Browns. As crazy as that seems, probably the Browns. Baker Mayfield's a lot younger than Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers has had a lot of injuries as of late in his career. I got to say it's the Browns, incredibly, especially with the way their defense has been constructed. So, you couldn't have told past me as of like even a few months ago I'd be saying this, but current me is saying I'd rather have the Browns job opening than the possible Packers job opening.
Andrew Luck named AFC's Offensive Player of the Month. Does Andrew Luck deserve to be in the MVP conversation?
That's interesting. I haven't really thought about it, so I'm going to think about it now. MVP is, you know, we talk about the GOAT with Aaron Rodgers. Sometimes I think, like, when somebody's having a really good season, people go, all right, they need to be in the MVP conversation. When, no, they don't actually need to be in the MVP conversation. You just want to recognize that they're having a really good season. And that probably applies to Andrew Luck here. The Colts are 6-5. I don't think they've been quite good enough to put him in that conversation, especially given that as nice a season as he has had, and he's had a tremendous bounce back season, especially following the shoulder injury and everything he dealt with. I mean, 32 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, almost 70% completion rate, 3,000 yards passing. Very nice season. But statistically, record-wise, all that stuff, he doesn't measure up to Patrick Mahomes. He doesn't measure up to Drew Brees. Those are the two guys I think the race is coming down to and will come down to. Right now, I would give the award to Patrick Mahomes. I think all things considered, he's had the best season, but it's close enough where week to week is influencing that, right? Like when Mahomes had 5 turnovers in that game, in the loss to the Rams, people started saying, did that lose him the MVP in favor of Brees? And that's a game, remember, where the Chiefs scored 50 something points. Their offense was doing something right. Patrick Mahomes was doing something right, even in that game with all the turnovers. But that's how close that race is. And now it flipped a little bit the other way where Drew Brees has a dud of a performance and you say, okay, Patrick Mahomes has moved back out in front of him. So to me, it's a two-person race between Mahomes and Brees. And right now, Mahomes is in front.
Ex-NFL players Christian Hackenberg, Scott Tolzien, Aaron Murray, among notable QB AAF draft selections, the Alliance of American Football. Can this league actually stay viable? Will you be watching the Alliance of American Football League?
No. but I don't love football like that. Like, and don't get me wrong, I've watched and followed football my whole life, but, like, you know, we all have our sport. For me, it's basketball, it's NBA, so, like, I will watch NBA Summer League, right? I will watch, like, some of that random stuff that people would be like, why would you watch that? You know, and there are plenty of football fans like that. So the question is, does it work as counter-programming in the offseason for football fans? And I think that's what they're trying to do. That's smart. They're trying to not compete with the NFL. They're trying to be supplementary to the NFL. The question is the demand high enough in the offseason where people just like football that much? They want to watch football in the offseason. We will get the answer soon enough. But I think their plan of going about it is stronger than, say, the XFL, who's like, we're going to take down the NFL because we're so much more Vince McMahon-y. You know, like, that to me is not as strong a plan of as we realize what the NFL is. But we also realize how big the marketplace is for football. NFL season's over. Here's some football. Check it out. Like, to me, that makes more sense than, oh, come on, NFL, you've got no chance in hell against the XFL.
Dabo and Coach K both frustrated with entitled fans having unrealistic expectations. Should fans of perennial winning teams stop complaining when their favorite team is underachieving?
I mean, look, if you root for a great team, there should be some leeway. You should, you know, I'm not going to, like, when the Patriots lose the Super Bowl, I don't feel bad for New England fans. Right? They're like, oh, poor New England fans, you didn't win this Super Bowl. So, yeah, I mean, I understand fans get emotional, they complain about everything, but there's certain validity to it. Then there's, like, what Coach K said this week, which was, like, don't overhype what's going on with Duke. I mean, shut up, man. You guys were hyped in high school. Don't sign those kind of recruits if you don't want hype around the team. You can't complain about that. But there is some degree of truth to, hey, we've been consistently excellent. Cut us a break if we don't have, you know, you can't win the championship every single year.
All right, and finally, Sylvester Stallone. He's finished with Rocky Balboa. The actor posted a final farewell to the Rocky character on social media a day after announcing that he was officially finished. So, Robin, who's your favorite movie character of all time?
Movie character? The dude from The Big Lebowski, I would say. The Dude Abides. That's probably my all-time favorite movie. You know, like, I mean, I'm obsessed with the Marvel stuff and Infinity War and rewatching it with my kids, but non-superhero kind of stuff. I love, you know, there's two filmmakers that get me into the theater every time or get me to watch every time that I wouldn't say for anybody else, and that's Quentin Tarantino and the Coen brothers. But the Big Lebowski and the dude. The dude is my favorite character. Offshoots of what's happened since that movie. And there's great characters within that movie too, right? Like John Goodman's character, Walter. Over the line! And even Steve Buscemi's character. Shut up, Donnie! And, like, all the other little characters. But it's all, like the rug, it's all tied together. Like the rug did the room, it's all tied together by the dude. So I would say he's my favorite all-time character in a movie. Who's your favorite all-time movie character, Anthony?
Well, if we're going based on favorite movie, mine's The Godfather. So do I have to say Michael Corleone then?
No, you don't have to. It doesn't have to be
Indiana Jones, I think, is a great movie character. I love those films.
What about that last one, though?
When I think of Indiana Jones, I'm thinking of the original three, yeah. The trilogy. Yeah.
You know, like, that last one, Steven Spielberg has shown himself to be such a competent filmmaker in other, like, I still can't process that he made that same movie. The one where they were with the aliens and all. That movie and Swinging Through the Jungle. That movie was garbage. Holy goodness, was it garbage. And it just boggles my mind that like, somebody who can make some of these other, like, can make Jaws and then make that. It doesn't make any sense. It does not compute. I will try to solve it between now and next week. I'm here every Saturday morning. Of course, any portion of the show you missed, go to CBSSportsRadio.com and go to the audio page. Robin Lundberg Show, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.